everybody. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. It has been a while. Thank you all for your patience. I ran off to the practically tropical city of Montreal, caught some sun, caught some sand, as we all know that that's what Montreal is well known for. And now I'm back here in the studio with Dan. Dan, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Austin. Looking forward to this. I've just been waiting the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just, I have so much to say, so this could run really long. So.
You know, excellent. There is this, like, emptiness. It's like the hole in my heart that can only be filled by Discord deeper. Wrong thing there.
Well, you know, if your heart needs to be filled by Discord, we can have another conversation.
That's a different conversation for a different time, I think. But yeah, thank you all for your patience. Dan, I just got back, and you delivered an incredible sermon on Sunday, and I'm really excited to talk about it. So why don't you kind of kick us off with a bit of a summary?
Yes. We have been talking about missions, a little more specifically at the early part of just after Easter, but really all the messages since then have been mission-related. And this week, we were in Jeremiah chapter 1 and the call of Jeremiah, the Lord calling him to prophetic ministry there. And had our graduates in mind as I picked that text for this week. We take some time to celebrate our graduates, and that's a time of transition for them and, of course, young people. And as we come to Jeremiah in the text, he's probably about the same age as a high school graduate. And
right.
So kind of overlap there, and just to hear what the Lord says to Jeremiah, to me it just resonates down through the generations, what we need to hear. So we really didn't talk as much about maybe the specifics of, oh, this is what you or I need to be doing on mission this week, as much as this is what the Lord says to us as we follow him, and just
right.
that encouragement, that provision, that strength for following him daily in our lives. So, and in summary, that was a lot of what we reflected on Sunday.
Yeah, and it was a lot on especially dealing with the transitionary periods of our life, which... as we've been kind of talking about, I'm in again.
Yes. Yes.
What with Danica's soon return, getting used to, you know, living with my spouse again, that's going to be a lot. But then there's also a graduates moving on, and transition is kind of, it's been a big theme for everyone, but especially for me. I was a missionary kid. I grew up with, you know, we'd go to transition seminars to make sure that we didn't fall apart whenever we came back to the States or tried not to fall apart anyways. And so I would love to just chat a bit about transition first off. I know it's not necessarily directly.
No, it is though. I mean, we did talk in that context especially. So
yeah, so I guess what would, just on a personal level, what is one of the more notable transition experiences you've had? And how did you deal with it? And what did you learn about yourself and God through it?
Yeah, I was trying to pick just one. I think for me, a massive one is when I followed God's call to go into ministry.
Okay.
Because at that time, I was getting into my late 20s. I had been working for about 5 years as a land surveyor. I had lived my whole life in the Chicagoland area. And I knew that not only was this going to be a change in work, but I was going back to school then. I was moving to Michigan. And so there was a lot of transitions in that time. And frankly, it's still in my going through my 20s. I was still even living at home with my parents, right? So this was a total kind of different stepping away. And so there was all the kinds of things we talked about yesterday that came with it, right? The anxieties, the doubts of, boy, you know, what if I made a mistake? Can I really do this? kind of thing, all of that.
Yeah.
And what's it going to look like? You know, and I think in some ways I probably handled that well. In other ways, as I look back, like, oh, there's a reason I probably did that. I was trying to cope with maybe the anxiety or in different ways. So one of the things that helped me into that transition, I think, was the time I even spent before it.
Okay.
Kind of preparing, praying, and also I think confirming for me in my life that, yes, this is where God's leading me. I had the opportunity to do that. I know you don't always in every transition, but I had a lot of time to explore with the Lord some of my own self, and even just learning a little bit more about what made me tick, how God was calling me and saying, yes, this is what I've given to you as far as gifts. Here's what I'm calling you to. So when the time came, I do believe I had a good level of confidence that, yes, the Lord is leading in this direction. I need to go here. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But that conviction was helpful, knowing that, yes, the Lord is leading. And that when the bumps in the road come, and they do, it helped me to keep looking ahead and saying, okay, this isn't a surprise. How do we respond? So that was helpful for me. I think, too, you just got to be forgiving of yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
There is, yeah, just things that you're going to wrestle with. It's new space often. There's a reason we often push back against change or uncomfortable situations because they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Coming to a transition, you know, even we joke about it, but even changing my seat in the pew on Sunday morning can cause some discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
The view's different. I hear different. I don't know the people around me as well.
Right.
It throws us off. And yet there's often a lot of growth in those spaces. So I think that, for me, one of the preparation pieces was a thing and making sure that I was connected to the Lord. I don't know if there was something else you asked as part of the question now at the outset there, but...
I don't, not off the top of my head. I think you got it. Kind of then tying with that as a transitionary question, as it were, what were some doubts that you experienced in that time?
In that particular transition, I think some of it was just, I don't know if that's the best word to describe, if it's like an ability, am I going to really be able to do this, you know, going towards seminary and ministry? Even though I was convicted of the call, others confirmed it, there was part of it was going back to school for me.
Uh-huh.
It's been 5+ years. And I remember first starting at seminary and really thinking, boy, there was a lot of those coming right out of school, and they seemed to be right in that rhythm. And I thought, how do I write a paper again? What is this? You know, I got to get in this rhythm, let alone getting to, like, the preaching aspect.
Sure.
And I'd done, you know, limited public speaking before then. And so, boy, how am I going to do with that? Is anybody even going to care what I say? You know, just a lot of those self-doubts. I think as well, some of the doubts, yeah, I think they just have to do with, at times maybe, I don't know if I had this as much, but I think it's a common one, the worthwhileness. Is it worth
no,
it,
that's
you know, going through all this, and what's the upside here? And you need those, we often call them quick wins.
Mm-hmm.
You need to see some encouragement, I think, to help. Depends what the transition is.
Yeah.
You're going through one that I hope and trust is going to be very positive. You've
sure.
been very
yeah.
much looking forward
we
to.
We hope so.
And looking forward to that. So you don't really necessarily, the win is like, we are in the same place, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas other transitions are harder, right? If I'm dealing with a change in my health now that something's come up and I have to adjust my life, well, I need to see, okay, Lord, how are you working for? Where's the upside? And how are you working in this? So those are a couple of things. I think, and that shows probably my personality too. In some of those transitions, there'll be some of those self-doubts. Others might not, it might be more circumstantial kind of doubts they're dealing with. They're not so worried about, I'll be fine in that. You know, they're
there's
a different kind of self-confidence. But for me, I dealt with some of those doubts about myself in that. So,
well then, to finish that transition question there, what do we do with our more existential doubts?
Mm.
So this is kind of getting into the whole topic of deconstruction, as it's popularly called. And this is, you know, one of the things to be talking about. But deconstruction is something that, in my experience, everyone kind of goes through at some point or other, where they just go and reevaluate, hey, I've got these questions about God that the answers I currently know are not feeling sufficient. And so one of the things I really appreciated in the sermon that you kind of talked about was the fact that having doubts are normal, whether they're in yourself or in anything else. But that, again, we need to learn to rely on and learn from God how to handle that.
Sure.
But I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it's like to doubt God healthily in a way.
Yeah, so I think that was something that hit me going through this as well, just being reminded. It maybe has to do with some of even my experience of the faith growing up. Very much doubt could be a bad word. You know, you never doubt. A good Christian never doubts, that sort of thing. And I think there was reason behind that, because certainly we can get lost. That was kind of the point I was making too, that if we let those feelings become more than that, right? And start to dictate how we act and even block any opportunity for God to speak to us. That obviously can lead us away from faith and in a path that, in my opinion, wouldn't be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
However, yeah, doubts are feelings and anxieties, and especially when we're coming into new situations. So even in our relationship with the Lord, and as I look at my life, you know, that relationship has ebbs and flows.
Mm.
And some points in my life, I felt the Lord was very close and I was very much in tune. Other points, it was maybe harder for me to see what the Lord was doing, or even if in some efforts, I just didn't sense him close. And as things went on, you wonder, okay, God, what are you doing? Are you there? What's happening? I think that's quite normal. And I think one of the healthy ways, and not that I always did this perfectly, but was to even continue to address God in the midst of those things. And the Psalms, I believe, do that and teach us how to do that.
Yes.
Well, because that expression's there. We often would look at that and say, well, that's not doubt, but it's certainly wondering. If whatever word you want to use.
Some of the stuff that David says to God, I'd be scared to God.
Right. To say that kind of, it's very pointed often.
Right.
Where are you? How long are you going to forget us or forget me? You know, how are you going to let my enemies triumph over me? I've been your servant all these years, and I have very human expression. And that's, we were just actually talking about looking this summer in some of our evening worship, and we're planning to connect with just some of the Psalms because there's just so much good expression of all kinds of stages of life. And so I think that would be one encouragement. Learn from that. And even, I think a lot of the times the psalmists almost aren't expecting that God's going to answer them right away. Because in that point, they maybe aren't hearing.
Yeah.
And yet, so often at the end, there's expression of, I trust in you.
Right.
I trust in you. I know you will show up.
It's the but gods.
Yes. 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 There. Yeah. Pastor Tim said that at some point yesterday, too.
Yeah.
One of the Psalms he was reading, you know, but God does these things, and that confidence. And so that perspective, that kind of mooring, even when, you know, I want to relate to Austin, and I just feel like we haven't been able to connect lately and doing that, but I'm going to keep texting him. I'm going to keep calling because I'm confident you're still there, and at the end of the day, our relationship's important, and I know you'll respond. Even more so with God. Or sometimes it doesn't seem like he's responding as we want. Sometimes the direction of our lives make us wonder about some of the things that maybe we've believed. This doesn't seem good. God, how can you allow this to happen? Keep wrestling with the Lord, right? Keep seeking him in that. And it's not easy.
But
I believe that expression of the psalm, and even Christ on the cross is wrestling. You know, he's in Gethsemane. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
Quoting right from the psalms. And as you read the psalms, I think it's a right way to read them, hearing them on Jesus' lips, first and foremost, as the righteous one. But he suffered as well. And knows what it's like to go through all the human feelings that we go through as well.
Right.
So I would encourage someone to, maybe like me, came up thinking that was just a no-no to even have that kind of feeling, that no, that's normal. You're going to go through times when you're unsure and you're struggling, but we need to keep hearing the word of the Lord. That's why I think Jeremiah was so important, just to hear this is what God says.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I provide for you. You know, I have purpose for you. And right now, it might be hard to see.
Right. Well, and I think one of the things that's important for us to keep in mind, you know, as someone who's gone through deconstruction and all this stuff, is that, you know, we were talking about, like, it's like texting the other person. God doesn't respond like we would a text.
Right.
Right. It's not like you get the little check mark that says red or anything like that.
Yes. Yeah.
As much as we wish that would happen. And so I think having grace for knowing that that relationship is going to be different by the very nature of the being of God. Is it?
I think that's fair. Actually, yesterday, I barely touched on it in the message, but, you know, Jeremiah's call, the word of the Lord came to me. And I'm pretty sure that most people are like me, that we picture that totally as a voice from heaven.
Right.
Jeremiah, like, yes, you know, he's looking up and
kind of like in the Monty Python thing where the clouds roll apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Samuel. We talked about Samuel's story a few weeks ago, and there's some times it seems pretty explicit that the Lord spoke in some sort of way. But just as the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that could mean a lot of different means that God used to to speak in that case. And I think because we often look, especially at the Old Testament, but even in the New, and kind of see all these very direct kind of expressions, mm-hmm. that we think, boy, God doesn't talk that way. And I often joke, and I think some of the jokes other pastors have made is like, I don't think you'd want that. If this voice came from heaven, it'd be pretty freaked out. And most of the time God speaks like that to somebody,
they're in trouble.
It's not the best thing, right? But we do have Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that is God speaking to
yes.
us in so many ways, still through his prophet, mm-hmm. even though he's been, dead for who knows how long now,
right.
Several thousand years. Yet God's still speaking that word to us. And, of course, now through the living word, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ speaks to us. And so you're right. It's different. It's mm-hmm. different. And
trying to, we need to remember that God is God. And, Jesus was fully human and fully God.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the way we relate to him will be just the same as we relate to other humans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I even think of Jesus in the garden there when he's praying and asking about the cup and the cross being taken from him. There's no indication that he heard any kind of voice from heaven there saying,
yeah.
But he did come to the conclusion that this cup's not going to be taken from me.
If it's your will.
Right. And maybe it was through a quiet, seeming lack of response that he said, okay, or I don't know, but God speaks.
Yeah.
He moves in mysterious ways, but he does communicate to us.
Absolutely.
It would be another maybe good space to talk about that, too,
mm-hmm.
of just the ways that God will get through to us and how he does that in different ways in different people's lives. And
mm-hmm.
I always enjoy when people from church just share some of the ways that God communicated to them. And I had some gentleman here who was talking with me about some ways, and it was just basic decisions he was trying to make of, I had some friends that were talking to me about worshiping with them at their church, and I prayed about it, and God just made it clear. It wasn't a voice from heaven, but he made it clear through reading a passage that,
mm-hmm.
oh, this morning I need to be here.
Sure.
And so that's, it's not always these extremely profound ways,
mm-hmm.
Just remarkable, lightning struck in that
right.
fashion, but it's sometimes, I went for a walk, and I was looking at the robins outside. And, boy, just the presence of God was there, mm-hmm. and it became clear to me how I needed to go about this day even. And so
right.
I think also that's another good thought, too, just trying to listen well in the midst of those doubts and trying to pay attention and see maybe God's trying to get through. I was thinking of it the other day. We were talking to some of the pastors just about, that idea of God's trying to get through to us, and sometimes we're looking for something, some special way. God's got to rescue me. And then, it's like the person that the analogy is the person in a flood sitting up on the rooftop, right? And, I'm waiting for God to save. And the helicopter comes and somebody comes in a boat by. And no, God's going to do something. And, then he eventually dies,
right.
goes up. And where were you? He said, I sent the helicopter. I sent a boat. And so sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, that can be me. I'm
right.
looking for, I'm going to read this passage, God, and you need to speak
through this passage and not necessarily through my friend who's been telling me this
right.
the whole time.
Right. Meanwhile, yeah, he's communicating all these ways to us, and
right.
I won't have it because I have something in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's human nature, too. It can be pretty stubborn. I can be pretty stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to pay attention and just being open to the Lord and how he might be speaking to us.
Right.
Even maybe something we don't want to hear.
Yes, and that's the one, because
mm-hmm.
oftentimes we don't want to hear what God's... If we wanted to hear everything God said to us, that'd be...
yeah.
That'd probably be a bigger red flag than
Well,
else.
Or you and I would be talking, doing this podcast from heaven. And
right, exactly. We wouldn't even be here.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, thank you. That's very helpful. Was there anything else in the text that you kind of wanted to get into but didn't have a chance to?
Oh, it'd be great to go into more of Jeremiah. Like we said, there's only one chapter and a few verses of 52 that we went into there.
Right.
But I think some of his call really interests me in that he's from this priestly line, and I think probably from a fairly famous one,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been his forefather that was in tight with David, Abiathar the priest,
right.
and then
okay.
sided against Solomon, and then got actually exiled sort of to this place that Jeremiah is from. That's why we think, oh, maybe he's from that line leading back. And you just think, oh, you have this name recognition and even some history, maybe good and bad. And then the Lord calls you into this. And you just wonder, there's a few other instances where priests and prophets, the prophets called our priests from priestly family as well. And just interesting how different that would have looked from what he would have expected.
Right.
Think of John the Baptist's dad in the New Testament. Also from the priestly line, it's like, okay, I have my duties. I report to Jerusalem at these times. I'm going to do this. Every once in a while, I might get to do that. And suddenly Jeremiah is getting thrown into all these things. Jeremiah, you're going to do this. Very
right.
visual example of, you know, and yet a much needed, powerful ministry that mm-hmm. we still talk about, of course. And
yeah.
And that didn't end. We don't know exactly how it ended. Tradition points to the fact Jeremiah was exiled to Egypt and then had his life taken there. Some 40 plus years into his ministry. And yet we know and trust that he's with the Lord now, and his ministry has been worthwhile, of course, as we still reflect on it. So some of that, the heroes of the faith, and I think I love what Jeremiah is often called, the weeping prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And he has those ups and downs. Like he says right at the outset, I can't speak well. I'm immature. I'm too young.
Right.
And throughout his ministry, he's wrestling with the Lord. No, this can't be right.
And I love that as such, again, a beautiful humanizing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you look at Jeremiah, there's a book of the Bible named We
yeah.
Named Children After Him.
Yes.
And he felt insecure, and he was like, I don't think I can do this. And I love how, again, how humanizing that is
mm-hmm.
and encouraging it is that, like, this is part of the support God gives us. Is, you know, we're mm-hmm. not the only ones who have done these crazy things, and he comes alongside them, and he'll come alongside us.
That's right. He's a hero of the faith, and yet still needed the strength of the Lord as much as you or I do.
Right.
In every way. And I think that's something that comes through to me so often reading Scripture, that message that the Lord gives about his presence and his strength going with and his promise. He repeats that so often in
mm-hmm.
Scripture, Old and New Testament, because we need to hear it. And I think Jesus says almost the exact same thing in different words in Matthew 28 when he gives that great commission. And he reminds, I'm going to go with you forever. He reminds that I have all authority. I have all this power, and I'm going to go with you. And then he always says, and God always says this basically in some way, shape, or form, so go forward in faith and do what I'm calling you to do.
Right.
And we can't forget that part. He says it very clearly to Jeremiah. You need to go and talk to who I tell you to talk to and to
mm-hmm.
who I tell you to tell it to. And it's the same thing with Joshua.
Movement needs to happen.
Lead these people into the promised land, Joshua. But I'm going with you. My strength's before you. The promises are there.
Moses and Aaron, you know, Moses is like, I can't talk. I've
yes.
got a stutter. Okay, well, go. I'll send Aaron with you, but you got to actually go.
Right. Yeah, sometimes God's even, you know, he's frustrated with Moses. And he still says, fine, I'll send Aaron, you know, to go with you. And Moses is a story I resonate with at the burning bush that was very much how I was relating to God, and as I was sensing his call to go to ministry, I just had some of those same, I literally did a pros and cons thing with the Lord. I can't speak very well. I haven't led in this way. And he said, fine. And he crossed those all off my list over the next couple of years.
Wow.
To where I was like, okay, I'm out of excuses. Like, you know, it was his way of sending the errand, you know, like, fine, I'll put you in a leadership role.
Mm.
There you go. What are you going to say now? Well, yes, you're going to have to speak in these ways in front of a church because
right.
of this role. Now, what else you got? It's kind of like that challenge. And
mm-hmm.
said, okay. And thankfully, God's willing to walk with us in that
mm-hmm.
and be patient with us. But yeah, Moses, Aaron, Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see it again and again. Joshua have these wrestlings with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So to circle back to what you said too, these fears or doubts, whatever word we would give to it, it's the human experience in this
mm-hmm.
world. And it's our experience in our relationship with God because he's not like us.
Right.
He is God, we aren't. And he gives us space to wrestle with that and
mm-hmm.
to try and figure it out. And sometimes in even odd ways to almost like bargain with him like Jacob
yeah.
did. You know, hey, you bring me back here, I'll worship you. You know, God's like, okay, you know, that's probably not the best way to go about it. But he does. And he comes back and he
mm-hmm.
builds an altar to the Lord. And I think of that, yeah, with Peter in the New Testament and the other disciples, far from perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in the Spirit's power, record all those stories, I think because they know too, like, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
This is what faith is like. It's a struggle at times. And we deal with our humanness and our brokenness, but God's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's faithful. He loves his people.
Yeah.
He's going to come with us. He's going to lead us. And even when we mess it up, he still keeps coming after us. And
mm-hmm.
oh, it's just so good to hear that word. I
felt
that this week. We just need to hear what the Lord says to
mm-hmm.
us and be reminded of who he is. And he is there.
Yeah.
Even when we don't sense him as close as we'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well put, Dan. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you again for coming back. Thank you, listeners, for coming back, even though it's been a hot second. We're excited to get this started back up on a weekly basis. If you guys have any questions you'd like to be asked, go ahead and shoot them to me at aslater@friendshipcrc.org, and we'll see about answering them in an upcoming episode. But Dan, thanks again for your time, and we will see you all next week.